Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
Let me start off by saying that there are, of course, in the church, there are about at least two groups. We could say there's a third or so on, but there's at least two groups of people. You have in this nation, and I'm talking about in America, you have in this nation, you have two political parties, pretty much. There's more, but there's two major ones. There's Republican and there's Democratic. And we have in the church, well, depending on what kind of church you go to, you have two type of people in there. You have Republicans, Democrats. There are some churches where you would have majority Democrats, some churches where you have majority Republicans. And so the word of the Lord does apply to either party. And let me say that the word of the Lord actually transcends every party. Could somebody say amen? So now, me personally, I am, I used to say I was of no party, but now I do belong to a party, which I hate the party, because it's so full of corruption and fraud and fakes. But I do, I'm a member of the Republican Party. I'm registered Republican. And the reason why I registered as a Republican and vote Republican is issues of abortion, issues of same-sex marriage, and so forth. Now, I grew up a Democrat, and because I'm from Chicago and I'm a minority, I'm Latino, so I grew up a Democrat, but as I became deeper and born again and deeper in my faith, I believe that the Republicans supposedly are more aligned with my biblical beliefs. Now, I do know that there are many Republicans that would politicians that would say they're against abortion, they're against same-sex marriage, and they're not really in their heart, but they just say that for the votes. And they play the Christians like a fiddle. And then you also have on the Democratic side those that say different types of things, and they really could care less. It's just about their own financial prosperity and their own family's, you know, preeminence. As we're talking about preeminence, but so it's for their own family's benefit and their own benefit, and they are also just playing the Democrat Christians like a fiddle. So I find that the truth is somewhere in the middle. But one of the things I want to submit to you today is that probably most of the people, not all, but most of the people that follow me in my ministry and watch my preaching, most of them are probably Republicans. So I do want to address the Republicans today, those watching on social media, Facebook, maybe those who will watch this on some other platform that is filmed. I do want to address you a little bit today because this January 6th, we saw the Republican people do some things that are controversial. And as those of you who are maybe don't watch the news or didn't know what happened, but what happened on January 6th is many Republican people had stormed the Capitol and had went inside the Capitol building and did some little things, whatever, did some things, big things, little things, whatever you call them. They'd done some things. And There's a lot of debate and argument going on about what they did, if it was right or if it was wrong, if it was actually not really Republicans, if it was Democrats dressed up as Republicans wearing Trump flags. And all those debates and all those things are not what I want to address. But let me say that definitely what we saw Antifa do last year was much worse, and it went on, and it went on. Me and my wife were in a hotel in Tampa, and there were rioters outside, and we had our guns loaded in the room because they were looting buildings, looting hotels, looting restaurants, beating up people trying to have dinner. So my wife and kids, we were in our room, locked in a Christian conference with guns loaded in case they broke into our hotel. That is much worse scenario than what happened on Capitol Hill just one day, for a couple hours. But let me say that the Republicans or Democrats, if you're a Christian, you should have different behavior than those who are in the same party as you. So if I'm a Democrat and I'm with Democrats, or I'm Republican and I'm with Republicans, my behavior should be different than the mob mentality. We shouldn't fall into mob mentality. And if we do see our fellow Republicans or our fellow Christians doing something, that's wrong, not only should we not do it with them, but we should also maybe try to differentiate ourselves and create peace and create calm. And during the Antifa and BLM riots and things that went on for 7 months, there were a lot of Christians, and there were Democrat Christians. There were Democrat ministers that were in there preaching and evangelizing, baptizing people, telling people not to burn things. We didn't see a lot of those clips, but there were some of that. And I was proud to see some of that happening. And then, of course, what happened in D.C. on January 6th, there were a lot of Christians there. I mean, I would say maybe half the crowd or more were Christians, but there were a lot of Christians. They were saying, hey, don't do this. Don't hit the police. Don't spit in the face. Don't be like the other guys. So there were people that were being salt and light on January 6th as well. But what I want to submit to you today, as we get into today's teaching and preaching, is that if you're a Christian, no matter what party that you're in, you have to remember that you are Christian first. You're not white first, you're not black first, you're not Asian first, you're not Democrat first, you're not Republican first, you're not male or you're not female first, you're a Christian first. And our identity as Christians should be in the kingdom of God and not in politics. Now, I am outspoken, and I am open in my Republican vote and my support for Trump for my political view reasons, but that doesn't make me fight or argue with my Democrat, liberal cousins and so forth. I mean, we love each other, we're family, and even Christians who are Democrat and liberal, I love them and I get along with them and I don't strive with them. We have arguments of opinions, discussions, but it's in the spirit of love. When you lose your temper and when you lose your love, you lost your Christianity, and your party or your race has become elevated over your faith. And your faith is not just a member or affiliation with the religion. As believers, we are born again. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And so I'm not depressed after, even though I support Trump, not everything that he says or tweets, you know, but most of it, 99%, you know, but I not everything. So some things I might disagree with, especially some of the things he did before he was in office, you know, so on. But anyways, I might agree with him or support him, but I have to remain a Christian in my character and in my action. And I shouldn't treat people, fight with people, and hurt people that have a different opinion, or even lose fellowship with people who have a different opinion. Now, if I lose fellowship with somebody because in their opinion they're attacking me, then what can I do? If you're going to attack me and come against me and be rude, what fellowship can I have with you? So I understand at that point, then there has to be a breaking away of how we walk together. But in general, I should be able to Let's fix that, please. In general, I should be able to love and walk with and talk with Christians who are never-Trumpers, anti-Trumpers, or if I'm a Democrat, those who are whatever, for Trump, so on. I should be able to love and get along with every person. Because how can I win someone to Christ if I'm their enemy over earthly matters? How can I win people to Christ if I am their enemy over earthly matters? I even found I'm also pro-Israel. We have Heba here from Palestine. So we love Palestine. We love Palestinians. I'm pro-Israel in my politics. Why am I pro-Israel in my politics? Well, because I see that Israel was a nation chosen by God, and there's a lot of scriptures about bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. But I found that it being too zealous with national issues and my pro-Israelness, I lost Muslim converts to Christianity who were newly Christians, 6 months, 1-2 years Christians, and they were Muslims from Pakistan, so on, and I lost my relationship with them, and I lost my influence with them being too pro-Israel. So that doesn't mean that I'm not pro-Israel, but how I make my case and how I stand for those things can't be exalted over my main case and the main thing that I stand for, which is the cross. And the cross is a message that belongs to Muslims. It's a message that belongs to Buddhists. It's a message that belongs to communists. I am also anti-communist. But as you know, I cannot reach Chinese, I cannot reach the government, I cannot move in government circles in China where we come from, me and my wife, if I am against communism in a very violent way. So I sat with the communist, some communist party members, and they said, what's your politics? What do you believe? And I said, well, this is what I believe. I believe in this, and I believe in that. I believe we should have freedom. I believe in, you know, all these things. I believe that communism is an oppressor and so forth and so on. But I do believe that there's many good communist people. And I do believe in, and I began to build rapport with the communist leaders. And they said, you know what? We never heard anyone talk like you, they said. They said, you're the kind of person that we can work with. So what we have to do as Christians, we have to say that my Christianity and my citizenship, can you say citizenship? Is in heaven. It's not in China. It's not in America. That citizenship that you have in your home country, wherever that is, wherever you're watching, or wherever, my wife is a Chinese citizen. So I don't know what your citizenships are. Oh, you're Botswana citizen, Tanzania citizen. Your citizenship is not Botswana, Tanzania, and America. That is a citizenship of your body, and your body will die. And when your body dies, so will your passport, and so will your citizenship. What's going to remain forever is your spirit man, and that spirit man belongs to another nation, and that nation is the nation of the kingdom of God. And we are Christians first. Amen. So now what does that mean? That means I'm not depressed after January 6th. I wanted Trump to win, and he might still win. We still have 10 days. And I believe that God could do miracles. So we still have 10 days if you're for Trump. And if you're not for Trump, you know, if you're against him, you better pray those 10 days come fast, you know. I just saw the news that tomorrow they're going to put impeach China, impeach Trump. They're going to move to impeach him, whatever. But, you know, as a supporter of Trump and as a Republican Christian, I'm praying against that. I'm praying that he wins. If they impeach him, I'm not going to be depressed. If Biden becomes president, I'm not going to be depressed. If I was a Democrat and Trump won, I'm not going to be depressed because I am not happy and sad based upon who's the president on earth. I am happy and sad based upon who's the king on the throne, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm not sad today. I'm excited about 2021. And I believe that Corona 2 is coming, and I'm still happy. I believe it's going to get worse, and I'm still happy. How can I believe it's going to get worse? How can I believe Corona 2 is about to happen? And how can I believe that the socialism and communism is going to spread around this world? How do I believe that there's going to be a new world order and that there's going to be a demonic powers? How do I know there's going to be a one world religion and a one world currency, and I'm still happy? Because I don't belong to this earth and I'm not part of that system. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to be in health. I'm going to flourish. I'm going to fulfill God's plan regardless of what happens in society. Amen. And I don't see in Scripture where Jesus ever said he was here to build an earthly kingdom. I don't see in Scripture anywhere where Jesus was calling for earthly revolution. He was calling for spiritual revolution. And when there's spiritual revolution, the earthly governments will be effected. Am I right? Rome was a wicked nation with a wicked leader that persecuted the church. But when revival happened on the day of Pentecost, the church has so infiltrated Rome and has so touched even Caesar's home. I don't know if I preached this here, but I don't know. I can't remember. But it says in the Bible that Paul said, even those who are believers in the household of Caesar. In other words, the gospel had reached even Caesar's wife. It had reached the household of Caesar, and eventually the entire Roman Empire had turned around and had been converted, not because of political revolution, but because of spiritual revolution. And any pastor and preacher or ministry, and I don't care who it is. Now, it's not my pastor, thank God. But if it was my pastor, I would then separate. But he is not. I saw him today saying, he is not for violence. He said, when I say fight, him and his wife said, when we say fight, we mean through every legal means. They condemned the Capitol Hill invasion. Do you know what they did? The invasion on Capitol Hill hurt us, speaking as Republicans. That hurt Republicans. That hurt Trump's chance. That had caused more of a mess, what they did. And what they did was not as bad as 7 months of riots and beating and shooting cops. It was not comparatively. But you see, if you give the devil an inch, he will always take a mile. And what they did, it hurt the cause of Republicans. But so my pastor and his wife this morning said, we are not for invading the Capitol. We are not for violence. Now, there is a time for war. We understand that. But anybody who's calling for civil war in America, and I'm sorry to say, I have born-again Pentecostal Christian friends that belong to the same ordination I belong to, calling for getting their guns, having war, going on the streets, fighting Antifa. Let me tell you, and if you're watching, you do not know what spirit you are of. Jesus said, sell your coat and get your sword so you could defend yourself if you're attacked, not so you could pick up arms and fight with the Maccabees and revolt. You remember when they tried to get Jesus to revolt, he said, no, 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 he wouldn't be a part of that. And then when he died and he left, the resurrection happened, that they tried to get the church in it and they refused to get involved with it. And they had the revolt. And you know what was the result of the revolt? It was 70 AD. They were slaughtered and more Rome controlled came in through that revolt of the flesh. Do you understand me? So anybody calling for violence, anybody calling, now listen, if the state of Oklahoma secedes from the United States, and they have a draft because the president's upset and they want to attack Oklahoma, then I would say, join the Oklahoma military and fight for the freedom of Oklahoma. But that's not the situation. This is not a 1776 situation. If it was, you would be just to join the state military and defend your state. If you chose, or move across the border and move to New York and whatever, you'd have the right to do so just justly. But to cause division, to cause strife, to cause fighting, to cause war, to attack, call for arms, that is not the spirit of God. What we need to call for is a spiritual reformation, a spiritual revival. And we do need to have another party too, because I don't want anything to do with the Democrats or the Republican rhinos. We need to have another party that's going to say Christ is our king and we represent righteousness, and we would be more likely to be involved in that kind of platform than to be in a Democrat or Republican platform, which are both been corrupted. They both been opted by the deep state. They're both wicked. They're both full of pedophiles. They're both full of bribes. And we find that Trump was by himself with his own vice president betraying him. His career is over. Pence's career is over. He's done. Unless he joins another party. But he's done. So even Trump find himself alone. And he called one guy. I was watching one guy yesterday. And he called him up. And he said, "What do I do? We've lost all avenues. What do I do?" So he's a man just like me or you. And if we have been so, we have made politics our religion. We have made politics our religion, and we cannot make politics our religion. I'm very political, but I'm not political in the sense of trying to push politics. I'm political in the sense in how can we minister to politicians? How can we help them come closer to Jesus and know Jesus? Because any politician who knows Jesus and they're convicted by the Holy Spirit, they can't vote against Roe v. Wade. Do you understand what I'm saying? They can't vote for homosexual marriage if they have been touched by the Holy Spirit and transformed. And one of my friends, Pastor Merrick Houghton, in a church there in Atlanta, Georgia, he said that one of the members of his church is a top leader in the Democratic Party. He's an African-American man. He's a top leader in the Democratic Party. And he said at the last convention, they were all chanting. They were all chanting and cheering to remove God off the dollar. And he said, "Pastor, I couldn't believe it. That here my party wants to remove God from the money in this nation." And he said, "You know what, Pastor? I think that we're going to have to create another party." Isn't that something? That's how wicked that one party has gotten. And then look on January 6th. How wicked the Republican Party has gotten. They wouldn't even stand for the president. So we have to see that the corruption has reached both sides. And we can only be sad or depressed after January 6th if our politics has been deeper than our faith. That's the only reason we can be disappointed and sad. Because if our faith is more real than politics, whichever way it goes, we know Jesus is Lord. Whichever way it goes, we know that what God said in the book of Revelation is coming to pass, that these are the days of Elijah, that these are the end times, that these are the days that things are going to get worse, but God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. So we're not depressed if Biden wins or Trump wins. We are the victorious, and we have the answers for all the sad Republicans right now. And if Trump would have won, we have the answers for all the sad Democrats, because we are a church that has answers. Amen. And I'm not on Biden's side. I don't like him. I'm not on Trump's side. I like him. But I'm not on their side. I'm on Christ's side. Amen. And our job now is to pray for whoever our leaders are. And if Biden does get sworn in, I'm believing for a 10-day miracle. But if he gets sworn in, I'm going to pray for him. And I'm going to pray for Harris. And I believe that God can change hearts. He changed the hearts of Caesar. I believe he could change hearts. Amen. So I'm speaking, primarily to my brothers and sisters who are Republican, that we have to pray for our leaders. If they are Democrat, we have to pray. We should not call for violence. And we can say, "Yes, but the left did it." Just because the left burns statues doesn't mean we should burn statues. Just because they go in front of homes and threaten the politicians and threaten Rand Paul and all these guys doesn't mean we should do that. And anyone that does that, Democrat or Republican, there's the wrong spirit motivating them. We are called to love people, to lift people up. Do you hear me? And yes, there's a time for war, but I'm not in the army, folks. Amen. We have a soldier right here. You're in the military. But, you know, I'm not called to war. Amen. I'm called to a spiritual war. And now we find, Heba, we find radical Christians in America just as bad. Listen to me. Just as bad as Islamic jihadists. Isn't that something? Makes me sick to see radical Christians so for Trump that they're calling on jihad. They condemned Islamic jihad for 50 years, and then when they find that things go the way the Bible says they're going to go, which is going to be darkness and a new world order, when we see that happen, which the Bible says, they're calling for Christian jihad. It's not the spirit of God. God called us to be peacemakers. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, we fight in by law. We can fight by protesting. We can fight by legal means that God has given us. But I don't go protest in China. Why? Because they'll beat me up, put me in jail. There is no legal means to protest in China, so I don't fight that way. Do I fight in China? Yes, I do. How do I fight in China? I fight by winning the hearts of men, by evangelizing, meeting Communist Party members, taking them to eat, having my kids play with theirs, and sharing the gospel with them, and sharing things with them that could change the heart. That's how I fight. In America, I can protest, and I can't fight that way. But neither place does Scripture give us in the New Testament to take up arms and to hurt people. God loves people. Amen. Now, let's recap from my last sermon. Can you say amen? Amen. And I just, my heart is broken to see Christian pastors that I should be walking with in fellowship calling for violence and to take up arms against people who have different views. Shame on you. Amen. Shame on you. Let's recap from my last message. Amen. Number one, nothing can... Let me just adjust the thing with the prophets too. A lot of people are done with prophets now. Let me say this. You shouldn't be disappointed till January 21st, number one. You still got 10 more days before he's signed in. And yeah, you got 9-10 more days. Amen. So don't be disappointed yet. But number two, is it possible that our prophets have had their faith so politicized that they are prophesying through the lens of their political worldview? Is it possible? Are they false prophets? I would like to say they're not a false prophet, because a false prophet is somebody whose motive is corrupt. Their motive is to trick you out of your money, seduce you sexually, manipulate people. Those are false prophets. A prophet who misses it because of a blindness of their own heart or politics or some type of thing, they're not a false prophet. They're an unseasoned prophet who have been lifted up and become popular because of the advent of the internet. So now all of a sudden, any idiot with a webcam could become a prophet. Amen. So I wouldn't say they're a false prophet, but I would say that the prophets, they need to repent of allowing worldly things to change and to infiltrate and to dilute the prophetic voice of God. And this is nothing new for Africans. In Africa, you have all the prophets. They prophesy this president, they prophesy that president, whichever president is going to give them some money, they prophesy their election. But in America, it's not that motivation. So those I would call maybe a false prophet, those who take bribery and position and influence for prophesying, that's what I call a false prophet. But those who have really have become so political in their Christianity that they have allowed their prophetic words to be based upon what they want, that's where we miss it. Amen. Now, I've never prophesied Trump or Biden to win. Why? Because I haven't heard God. But I've said, I told Pastor Marlon Reed's church in Detroit, which are all black American Republicans. Strangest thing I've ever seen in my life. I couldn't believe it. I said, how did you find this many black Republicans in one city? I couldn't believe it. But I said, listen, folks, Biden might win. Trump might win. We don't know till after the election. I said, but whoever wins, we know that the church is going to thrive. China, the church is outlawed. Before the church was outlawed, I forgot how many Christians there were. I think it was something like 8 million or 7 million Christians in China before Christianity was outlawed. After it was outlawed, they say there's up to 300 million right now. You can't outlaw the church. And everyone's afraid if Biden gets in, the church's going to be outlawed. Maybe if Biden got in, we would not have a great awakening. Maybe we'd have a rude awakening. See, we have people ready to take up arms and fight, but they haven't led one person to Jesus Christ. They haven't personally led someone to Jesus, but they want to get a gun and fight for the church. They're deceived. If they were really that zealous, they'd be out there winning souls. And I got a friend named John Duke. He's with Pastor Rodney. All this week, while everyone's fighting in D.C. and fighting on Facebook, he's just in New York winning souls. This week alone, they won like 400 souls. That's what we should be doing. Amen? Not fighting over politics and calling people to take arms and getting angry at the prophets for prophesying. You know, hey. Amen. We're of another kingdom. And our mission has never changed. And we've gotten too political in the wrong way. We should be political, witnessing, evangelizing, praying for politicians, ministering, mentoring, being involved in their lives, lobbying. We should be involved. But it shouldn't affect what kingdom we think we belong to. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anyways, nothing can rule over you when you realize your preeminence as a new creation. I taught 2 weeks ago that there are all different categories of flesh. I taught that there are celestial beings that have bodies. And I taught to you that there are terrestrial beings that have bodies. Celestial means bodies that are in heaven. They're in the stratosphere. They're outside of the earth realm. And that there are terrestrial bodies, which means in the Greek, it means earthly bodies. And celestial bodies, which are outside of the earth. So a celestial being has a body, I said. And so since they have a body, they cannot enter into a human, or they cannot enter into an animal because they have a body. If you were here last Monday night, Pastor Robert talked about deliverance and casting out demons. And he said often in deliverance, you come across a demon by the name of Jezebel, a Jezebel spirit. And I said, well, wait a minute. How could Sally have Jezebel and also Susie? Because if it's one demon named Jezebel, how come Susie and Sally could have the same demon? And he said, well, it's interesting. You find that it's not Jezebel itself. It's a spirit under the command of Jezebel. Therefore, it can't be identified as Jezebel. See, if you go to the scripture, you see where it says, Satan had filled thine heart. That doesn't mean Lucifer had left his throne in hell and came to go inside of Peter. That meant that a spirit under the direct agency of Satan was assigned and sent by Satan. Matter of fact, when we see that Satan came to Eve in the garden through a snake, that doesn't mean that it was Satan himself that had left his angelic body and came into a snake body. It means that a spirit that was assigned and sent by Satan to speak the words of Satan, representing Satan, was in that snake. Do you understand me? That's why in the New Testament, you'll see a place where it says that the two brothers came to Jesus asking who could be on the left side and the right side of Jesus. But another gospel says that his mother came to Jesus asking, can my sons be on your left side or on your right side? So which gospel is right? They're both right. But see, in Eastern understanding, when the mother comes, or when a servant comes, when somebody who's under the authority or sent by comes, it's as good as if it were them themselves. That's why the centurion soldier said, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Because if his word goes, it's just as good as if he went himself. And a matter of fact, even when you read the centurion soldier in two separate gospels, one says the centurion soldier came to him. Another gospel says the servants of the centurion soldier came to him. Which gospel's right? They're both right. Because when somebody comes on behalf of, it's not them speaking, but it's the person behind them that's speaking. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you all of a sudden knew this is not them speaking? This is his wife speaking. Happens to me all the time, where I hear the voice of somebody else in somebody else's mouth. That's because when you're spiritually sensitive, you can discern who's really speaking through that person. It's their spouse, it's some other believer, it's some demon, or the Holy Ghost. There's times where I've turned to somebody, who was a child. And I looked, I said, that wasn't you speaking, that was the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we understand that a fallen angel, a celestial being, cannot enter into another body because they have a body. But they can send a spirit that does not have a body to fulfill their commands and to function in the earth. Amen. The reality of beings outside of what you see, me and you, outside of Earth and outside of this planet, is a reality. But the good news is, Hebrews 12:9 says that God is the Father of all spirits. You know, January 6th, when they invaded the Capitol building, there was pictures of this guy with horns, two raccoon tails. He has Norwegian Nordic tattoos on him. And he was wearing like some kind of furry Chewbacca boots. And he was with a couple other guys with long beards, so on. And one of my friends who's a prophet, he posted, that's Antifa. So I reposted, oh, this is Antifa. It's not really Trumpers. Come to find out that they are Trumpers, that they belong to QAnon. And they actually, the guy whose name is Jake Angeli, he did a two-hour interview. It's online. I could send you the link. He did a two-hour interview, and he is with QAnon. He's a Trump supporter, and he was not Antifa. That was a fake news. So these guys that were there, that group of guys you saw on TV, they were Trump supporters. They're not Antifa. And they have interviews with them after, and you could go check out their history, whatever. They've been supporting Trump for over 4 years, and all of this is on proven. But it's interesting, this guy is a shaman. And I couldn't believe my ears. I was listening to what he was saying yesterday. I watched a two-hour interview with him. And this man said that there are spirit beings that have taken, now he's not a Christian, he's a shaman. But here's what the shaman said, this guy, Jake Angeli, the guy with the thing. He said, there are spirit beings that have taken over our country. And he said, most everybody thinks they're aliens. He said, but they're not aliens. Actually, they're spirits from another dimension, another realm. And I said, wow, this guy is so, you know, to us, we say this guy's crazy, right? He's so crazy, but he's so right. See, even this non-Christian shaman guy who invaded the Capitol, stood in the center of the Congress stage and on the platform, even this you know, kind of crazy guy, a shaman from another religion, he knows that America has been co-opted by spirits, demonic spirits. And he said they're not aliens, because people believe they're aliens. He said, but they're entities from another realm. If you learn, if you look at some of the things that Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and some of the top technocrats in the world, if you listen to them, they talk about, and if you study it out, they talk about taking these drugs called ayahuasca. And they take this ayahuasca drug, and this ayahuasca is something that comes from some kind of plant in Central and South America. And they take this ayahuasca drugs, I guess it would be similar to our generation, or something like shrooms. They take this kind of LSD type of natural drug, and what it does is it opens up the pineal gland. So everybody has a gland called the pineal gland, and the pineal gland is located at the front of your cortex here. And it is said by science to be the part of our brain that connects us to the spiritual world. So what ayahuasca does, it doesn't get you high. What ayahuasca does is it opens up your pineal gland, just like when you take cocaine. Cocaine doesn't get you high. What cocaine does is it releases the dopamine that's in your body already. So we have dopamine and endorphins in our body. And when you and we have what's in our brain is like a lever to a valve. And when you are hearing a good song, having a good time, or making love, yeah, this is PG for the kids. What happens is that valve opens up and those dopamines are released and you feel good. So when you do cocaine, it doesn't give you more dopamine. What it does is it opens up the valve. That's why I say it's dangerous to have a lifestyle of using cocaine, because you could wear that valve out and you could be drained of all in dopamine and there's no longer any valve left and your body is just is in this state where it's empty, looking for this rush, looking for this high, but you've burned it out through cocaine use. So what happens when you use the cocaine, that valve opens up and you're actually getting high on your own supply. You're getting high on the things that God has already put on the inside of you. The cocaine just opens that up. So ayahuasca is the same way. It doesn't give you illusions. It opens up your pineal gland, and every single person that takes it has the same experience. They go into the spirit realm. Everyone. You could go on YouTube and read testimonies of it. People who are lukewarm Christians, not serious. A lot of Christians have taken it. And Christians who take it get tormented. Non-Christians who take it, they have these euphoric experiences because the agenda is to deceive them. But when a Christian gets it, they have just entered the spirit realm illegally. And so demons come and they're tormented. Any Christian, you can look at Christians ayahuasca, YouTube it, you hear all their testimonies. They're tormented by demons when they go into the spirit realm illegally. That's what happens when a Christian plays the Ouija board. They participate in the spiritual realm illegally. And all of a sudden, this poltergeist begins to happen in their homes. They begin to get tormented because they went into the spirit realm illegally. You understand me? So now, these people who take ayahuasca, they're getting inventions, ideas, agendas. They're told and commanded by these. So what happens is these blue entities come to them. And these blue entities appear to them. And if you don't believe me, just YouTube their testimonies. YouTube them. These blue entities come to them. And they tell them, oh, you are chosen. You are called. You have to fulfill the assignment here. We brought you here. And now we assigned you. We need you to do this and do that. And one of the guys who's a very popular user of it is a guy named Joe Rogan. He has a show and a podcast. And they are given assignments by these entities. They believe that these are just friendly spirits from an interdimensional realm or whatever. They don't realize they are talking to fallen spirits. They are talking to satanic, demonic spirits, and they don't realize it. But see, now they're conversing. One of the guys that does it, he's been given strategies to contact what he is told is life on other planets. One of the men that used to travel into the spirit realm demonically, not by God, was a man by the name of Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley is the man who wrote the book called The Book of Magic. And Aleister Crowley wrote this book of magic. It's a witchcraft book. And in this man's book, he had delivered to the world what his spirit guide had taught him in his trances. And in this book of the magic, which Adolf Hitler read and used, and many other schools like the Dawn of the Golden Order, all these schools of occultism and witchcraft had come out of Aleister Crowley's visitations by these spiritual beings. Now, the spirit guide that spoke to Aleister Crowley looks like what me and you would identify as an alien. Next week, I'll show you photos, and we'll put photos on the screen. But his spirit guide was a gray. So the nickname of these spirits are called the grays. If you look at your phones right now, you type in alien grays. Just type that in your phone right now, and you'll see them come right up. You'll see what I'm talking about. If my wife could do that, she could do that too. This spirit guide that revealed himself to Aleister Crowley, the leader of the occultism for our century. Last century was what, 21st century or 20th century? For the 20th century. This spirit was a gray alien. He's an alien. Long body, tall, long arms, long fingers, cone head, and slanted eyes. No, he's not Chinese. It's where we get the term grays from. This was the spirit guide of Aleister Crowley. Does anybody have it on their phone? Yeah, can you hold it up? That's it right there. That is Aleister Crowley's spirit guide. What does that look like to you? Why does it look like an alien to you? Because when this spirit came to Aleister Crowley, he told him, I want you to introduce our coming to the planet. So he was mentoring government leaders. Many government leaders are mentored by Aleister Crowley, especially in London. There we go. They're on the screen. That's the grays. This is what you know as aliens. But prior to you knowing that, this was the spirit guide of Aleister Crowley. And Aleister Crowley mentored British government dignitaries. He mentored the NASA, the founder of NASA, and that's why NASA began the program to go into outer space. It became because of the occult. You can look up, there's actually a movie coming out about the founder of NASA and how the spirit guides told him to go to outer space to contact these grays. That's the birth of NASA, just so you know. Now, I'm not saying NASA is bad, but it's important you know how the spiritual world is converging with the natural world. You see, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that there were sons of God that came, and they took women, the daughters of men, and they mated with them and to create these Nephilim, these giants. And Jesus said, so shall it be in the last days as it was in the days of Noah. So in the days of Noah, there was a convergence between the spiritual realms and the earthly realm. And these entities were operating and mixing together and talking together. This is what was happening at the Tower of Babel. Okay? So now this spirit comes to Aleister Crowley, who's one of the highest satanic channelers. And watch this. In the Book of the Magic, do you know what he wrote is the number one key to get to the highest realm of satanic power? You know what he says? It's the sodomy of little boys. That's in the Book of Magic. So now you know why politicians, Jeffrey Epstein, Catholic Church, Venezuela, little boys' orphanages, deaf orphanages, where they systematically and ritually abuse those boys who are deaf so nobody could hear their screams. You see why they're doing this. It's not just for perversion, but it is to access black magic, highest realms of demonic power. And I believe that some of this carries over in the Masonic Lodge, in the Shriners. I think that's why they do so many things with boys, with kids. But see, this spirit, the spirit guide of Aleister Crowley, is right behind you on the screen. He comes and he says, I want you to prepare the world for a convergence of our realm with the earth realm. And I want you to connect and bring in, and I want you to create films and so on and use entertainment to introduce us to the world. So then we come out with this War of the Worlds, this radio show, and they introduce the idea and concept of aliens. Then these aliens begin to be introduced through literature and cinema. And now we have a whole alien culture where people are worshiping them, believing in them, and I find that there are millions of Christians in America that believe that these guys are actually species from another planet. These are not species from another planet. These are fallen angels. And if you go and you begin to study, there's a man by the name of Chuck Missler. M-I-S-S-L-E-R. Chuck Missler is one of the most conservative. He's not a charismatic, but he's one of the most conservative. That's Aleister Crowley. Chuck Missler is one of the most conservative, strong Christian evangelical teachers in the body of Christ. He was in the CIA. And Chuck Missler had in one of his teachings, he said that during his time in the CIA, he said they have proven visitations, sightings of UFOs and aliens and these type of things. He said, but they are not aliens. They are fallen angels. But they've been presented through pop culture and they've been presented to America and the West and to Europe as life on other planets, species from another planet. And you have to understand, if you start to go and look at testimonies of people that have encountered these things, you hear about rape, you hear about torture. They have all kinds of testimonies of how they have bad experiences with these abductions. And people, some people think they're crazy. Other people think that they are lives from another planet. Let me tell you, these are not just lives from another planet. These are fallen angels. UFOs are not alien spaceships. UFOs are spiritual or from another realm type of devices, transportation devices. Now we would see something and call it a UFO by the way it moved. But 2,000 years ago, they would say, I saw a chariot on fire like a flaming horse. How else would they describe it? You see? What they're encountering are not just some other life on another planet. Because the Bible told us 2,000 years ago, there are celestial bodies. So this should not take us off guard, nor should it shake our faith. There are celestial bodies. The Apostle Paul prepared us for that. But if that celestial body is not devoutly bowing its knee to Jesus, not worshiping God, that celestial body is a part of the rebel group that had rebelled against God, rebelled against heaven, and they therefore are illegal entities. And we find in Scripture here that on this planet, you see, the reason why these people who are Christians take ayahuasca and they're tormented by demons is because they've gone into a realm the wrong way. They don't belong. But as long as you're on this planet, as long as you're in this realm, these demon spirits, these fallen angels have no authority over you. And it's very important that the church understands this, and it's very important that I grapple with this topic, though it be some, you know, what are they, fringe, though it be some kind of fringe topic. It's very important because we have to prepare the church, and we have to have answers, and we have to know what the Bible says. The Bible says, I would not you to be ignorant of spiritual things. Yeah, I could preach to you another Joel Osteen message. God loves you and he's not through with you and your best days are ahead. But how many times do you have to hear that? In the meantime, all this other stuff is happening and the church is clueless. But God has not left us clueless. He told us there are bodies, celestial and terrestrial, and every being and every spirit God made. And if they don't bow their name to their knees to Jesus, they are illegal spirits. Do you hear me? Amen. Now these spirits, these fallen angels, I'm going to explain to you the difference between a fallen angel and a spirit. And Benny Hinn has, I think it's 18 differences between a fallen angel and a demon spirit. Benny Hinn has 18. And I'm going to find those and I'm going to share those 18 different points. One of them is a spirit does not have a body. The Greek word devil in the New Testament is the word demon in Hebrew. The word demon means disembodied spirit, meaning that they do not have a body. They once had a body, but now they don't. These, what we call aliens, they have a body. Matter of fact, if you go to my YouTube channel, Living Proof TV. My cousin Bobby, my kids know, my cousin Bobby was attacked at night by two of these fallen entities. These entities beat him. They broke three of his ribs. It wasn't some spiritual thing floating in her room. They were flesh and blood. They beat him. He almost died. He had the only thing that saved him is he was able to fight them off. And he crawled up to, he lived in the basement. And his mother, my aunt and uncle, they lived upstairs. And he crawled up the stairs and he pounded on the door till they came. And the entities left. They beat him. They broke three of his ribs. They had to rush him to the emergency room. And they had to save his life after being beaten by two of these grays. Now, how did that happen to him? He was a born-again, tongue-talking Christian. How did that happen to him? That day, see, my cousin was like me. We were gangbangers. And the gang that we belonged to in the 60s and the 50s, it was founded, this particular gang. Most of them, during his generation, were white guys. My generation was black and Latino mostly. But my uncle, who was the founder, my cousin, who was, he's like 53, I'm 41. They were in the founder generations, and they were into heavy metal. And so they listened to heavy metal, Judas Priest, AC/DC, and they worshiped the devil. They literally worshiped the devil. So this is where my cousin came out of. Judas Priest, AC/DC, heavy metal, Satan worship. And they were killers. My cousin killed over 20 people, murdered them. And this is that group of gangsters that I came out of. And they would worship the devil. One of the guys, the leader of my gang, would kill people, torture them, and record it. And one day he lost his mind, and he took the cassette, walked into a police station, and he pushed play. And he played all the torturing and murders to the police and turned himself in. He was tortured by those spirits. So this is where my cousin was coming out of, and he was saved now. But one of the girls that was in our circle, she was a satanic bride. Her parents were in heavy metal, Satan worship, and they had given birth to her to be a bride of Satan. And I'm talking like, you know, Chicago, white gangs, tattoos, devil worshipers. It's a whole nother culture most of you guys don't know about. So she was a bride of Satan, and she was given into sex slavery and all these kind of, you know, rituals as a little girl. So she seduced my cousin, and she slept with him. And so that afternoon, he slept with a bride of the devil. And that night, two of these demons came in and almost killed him. He tried to say the name of Jesus, and they were not spirit. They were flesh and blood. They put their hands over his mouth and held his mouth shut so he couldn't say the name of Jesus. And they picked him up and they threw him. His testimony is on YouTube. It's called Out of Darkness. They picked him up and they threw him like a rag doll all the way across the room. Broke three of his ribs. And he got out by the grace of God. Now, he's going to come here. Matter of fact, I'll have him tell the testimony. He's coming here in a couple weeks. He survived. Now he's a graduate of Charis Bible College, Andrew Womack. He's a graduate of Charis Bible College. He's a graduate of Bob Jones University. He has 3 or 4 degrees. He's on fire for Jesus now. He's an evangelist. Amen. But he opened the door by sleeping with that Satanist. And that's why he gave access to those demons. Now that girl, she came to sleep with him by satanic assignment. That was an assignment to get him to do it, because when he slept with her, he gave legal right for her gods to come into his life, even though he was a Christian. So you have to understand, these entities are real. But as long as you don't go on their territory, their way, through sin or some drug use or some kind of illegal way, you remain in dominion over them. Do you understand me? These fallen spirits are malignant, wicked spirits. But though they be from another realm, another place, though they be spiritual or physical, you, as a born-again believer, have authority over them. Matter of fact, you as a human being have authority over them. Why do demons and these fallen angels, why do they work with human beings? Why do human beings have to conjure them? Why do they have to sacrifice animals or humans? Why do they have to do magic? Why do they have to do that? Because they can't operate without the participation of human beings. If they could operate without the participation of human beings, they would need no priests. They would need no witch doctors. They would need no spells. They would need no sacrifices. They would need nothing to be done for them to operate if human beings did not have authority over them. Human beings, listen to me, they have authority over demon spirits even if they're not Christian. How do you think shamans cast out demons? Don't you know shamans heal the sick? In Africa, don't they? These juju priests, people come in with sickness and they do magic on them and they get healed. How is that? Because human beings have authority over spirits. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit, now you have all power in heaven and earth in you through the name of Jesus. How much more powerful are you if you're a believer? Let me give you another example of how human beings have authority over demon spirits. There was a man who had a demon in the Garden of Gadara. He had a legion of demons. That's 12,000 demons. Even though this man had 12,000 demons, the 12,000 demons could not stop him from bowing down and worshiping Jesus. He was not saved, not born again, had not had Jesus, but with 12,000 demons in him, they could not stop him from worshiping Jesus. Why is that? Because mankind has authority over spirits. Because we were given that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God gave dominion to mankind. Dominion over the bears, over the lions. Hallelujah. If you're Kenyan from the Maasai tribe, you don't become a man till you kill a lion. Am I right? You don't become a man till you kill a lion. Why? Because you have to exercise your dominion to prove your manhood. Hallelujah. So once anybody, heavenly or earthly, is destroyed, the spirit does not cease to exist. So what are the origins of these demon spirits? They have no bodies. And how are they differentiated from fallen angels? I'll teach you that next week. Amen. That's not today's point. Hallelujah. But I will teach you that next week. We are still just recapping. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, let's put it on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15:49. We're going to end here. I'm still in the recap from last week. But I don't want to keep you too long. Amen. 15:49. It says, And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. We are given an earthly body, but after we die, we will be given a glorified body if you're born again. If not, you don't cease to exist. Your spirit will live forever, but it will live forever in hell being tormented if you're not born again. If you're born again, you will be given a new body. You will be given a glorified body. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John chapter 10, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He was speaking of the womb of a woman. The womb of a woman is the doorway into this earth. That's why God had to come through the virgin birth. He would have came illegally if he would have just came into the earth to operate. That would have been illegal. So he had to come through the womb of a woman. It's the only legal entry is through birth. Even God submitted himself to the divine authority that he passed down to Adam. And he said, when I come, I have to come through a woman because I gave man authority in this earth. And for me to do what I got to do, I have to come as a man. And this is the mystery that was hid for ages, that Jesus himself would come through the womb of a woman. Because it's only through the womb. Now listen. The Bible says in the last days there will be what's called a beast to come to power. Let me tell you, any human being cloned, made in a, what do they call that, petri dish, and cloned, not born from a woman, out of a woman's womb, that is not a human being. That's a beast. And now, this beast, God will not give a spirit to. So if they clone a human being outside the womb of a woman, what will give that beast life? Demon spirits will. Because disembodied spirits, they crave bodies. And when you cast them out, the Bible says they go around looking for rest. Rest is somebody else to give them space. And they can't find one. If they can't find one, then they say this. They said, I will go back to my house from whence I came. Because they think that that person belongs to them. So when you get free from the devil, you have to say, this is God's house. Hallelujah. And you have to make sure that house is filled with God. Because when the devil says, this is my house, I'll go back to my house from whence I came, you have to say, sorry, there is no more vacancy. The Holy Ghost has moved in. Hallelujah. Amen. But they're continually looking for a body to express themselves. Pastor Hubbard said, the reason I eat pig is because even though the demons went into the pigs, they went into the water and got baptized. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. It's important that we teach this, and we're going to package it and series it up, and we're going to put it online for free, because the church cannot be ignorant. And you know what? There's plenty of churches all around Tulsa. They're going to teach you the same exact thing again and again and again for decades. We're going to give you something here that you're not going to get elsewhere. And it's going to be from the riches of the Word of God. Because God says He desires that we be no longer children tossed to and fro with every whim of doctrine. But He wants us to be rooted and strong. And when these things come upon the earth and they rise in popularity as they already have the last 20 years, we'll know exactly what they are. We can educate people and we can put a stand against them. But I want you to be encouraged that no matter who is in the White House, that your master, your Lord, is in the throne room. Hallelujah. Amen. And He says, don't be troubled. Fret not your heart. Don't be in trouble, for all these things must be. We're so longing for an earthly kingdom of righteousness. But I remember the patriarchs in the Bible. It says that they longed for a city whose builder and maker was not of this earth. We no longer long for the heavenly city. Now we long for some president. Now we long for some political party. Now we long for some kind of heaven and our governmental system. But the prophets who went before us, they longed for a city whose builder and maker was God. We love this earthly world so much, we're willing to pick up arms and fight brothers and sisters over this earth when our house is still in heaven and our purpose is still in heaven. The only reason we're here is not to fight and bicker and hurt and kill, but we're here to save souls. Otherwise, God would have took you to heaven the minute you got saved. And churches all across this city, and pastors all across this world, and prophets on Facebook, not winning any souls to Jesus, but stirring up Christians to fight over politics. I want to be like my buddy John Duke. Let's go out there and win some souls. Let's feed the homeless. Let's clothe those in this cold Tulsa streets. Let's make a difference in people's life, because that's what's going to count in heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You.
We had to stop the recording at that point, but You might be listening right now and you say, Pastor Joey, I wanted to pray that prayer. If I was there, I would have prayed with you. I'd like to pray right now, as a matter of fact. I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. I would like to have God in my life, and I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior and my Lord and surrender my life to Him. You know, repentance means to turn away from your way of doing things and to turn to God's way. We've done things our own way, like they used to say in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. When I did the 12 steps, they said, your best decisions and your best ways of thinking and your best ways to handle life have gotten you to this situation. And now it's time to trust a higher power. Well, there is no higher power than the God of all the earth. His name is Jehovah. And He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. And through Him, you can turn from your way of doing things to His way. And His way is the right way, because He made you. And He made you for a purpose. And He knows exactly what you need to pull out your potential, to forgive you of your sins, deliver you from the things that keep you away from God in a sin and death cycle. And if you'd open up your heart to Him right now, together with me, God can begin a new work in your life. So just pray with me wherever you're at, whether you're driving your car, whether you're at home, wherever you are, just pray with me and repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that your Son died for my sins. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. I'd like you to contact me, and we can send you some more resources and materials that can help you start this new life, because this is the first day of the rest of your life. Email me at joe@nationsabroad.com or email the church at nfcontact@gmail.com. And we'd love to speak with you and just correspond with you and put you on the right path. Maybe help you find some local churches there online or something, or maybe we know some pastors there that can follow up with you and help teach you the Word of God. Thank you for listening, and feel free to download the other podcasts and just feed on the Word of God.